Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to the prayer meeting. It's good to have you all join us. So let's commit this time to God in prayer before we hear the preaching of the word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you have been good to us, that you have been leading us, Lord, and we truly appreciate and are blessed, Lord, because of who you are. And we want to thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that as we study your word in regards of the person of the Holy Spirit, that our hearts will be filled, that we will experience the presence and the power of your Spirit in our lives, that we may believe that you are able to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we pray that we may learn how to walk with the Spirit. So we pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to us and you guide us. You know each one of us gathered here at this moment. So you speak to our hearts. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to do a study about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And as I read the scripture text, we're going to take at least 2 weeks, perhaps three, to go through this entire text and understand what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. So let me read the scripture text to you, okay? It's taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to chapter 5, verses 20. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So when you reflect on what we've been talking about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have all seen the scriptures, and we realize that Jesus pointed to a time when he was taken, that he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And we see that happening on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit comes and he's the other comforter that takes the place of Christ, and it's the presence of God with us. So as we have seen, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is an event that occurs only once. So it's important for you to understand, because many people do ask this question because of sin and because of the challenges they go through life. So they ask, do I still have the Holy Spirit? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? And the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do receive the Holy Spirit. But what you must understand is, along with the baptism comes a command that we should be continuously filled with the Spirit. This is a repeated, ongoing event. And so when you go through the text, you realize that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, and other things can happen, which we will look at. But the point is, the first thing that we must be mindful, that once the Holy Spirit comes and resides within us and makes us the children of God, you know, that is God's doing and God's work. And until we reject Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, where we blatantly turn away from Him and do not believe in Him any longer, our faith, you know, leads us to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is with us, but there is an invitation to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do is look at that whole sentence, fullness of the Spirit, in the Bible, and see how it is used. And so it will help us better understanding what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the first passage is taken from the book of Acts. And in this passage, you know, the apostles realized that they had to focus on teaching and praying. And therefore, they appointed people to care for the Gentile Christians, to make sure that the food was distributed fairly. So there was a suggestion to choose leaders. And the text is taken from Acts 6, verse 3 to 6. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Pharmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented this man to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So in this case, you know, it implied of every dedicated Christian. So if you are a believer in Christ, and if you're a person who is given to that conviction, you are a person who is full of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then it's also used about, you know, the anointing coming to a person and setting that person apart for a specific ministry. So here we can see, and you realize that all this is taken from the New Testament and the book of Luke, because Luke writes both Luke and Acts. So we can see how he uses the term and how in his writings he develops the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So in Luke chapter 1, he speaks about the selection of John the Baptist, okay? And so this is written, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, your God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So you can see the Holy Spirit coming, but the context of this passage is the Holy Spirit comes to prepare John for a very specific ministry, and he is the forerunner of Jesus, and he prepares a way for Jesus Christ. And then the second example is of Paul himself, okay? And here, when Paul was blinded by his encounter with the living Christ. So in Acts chapter 9, 17, the Lord sends Ananias to pray over Paul. And here it says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming there, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And yes, this is the, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, you can see when Paul reflects on this infilling, he knew that the Holy Spirit had set him apart for a particular purpose. Okay, so to bring the good news to the Gentiles. And he was clear when he shared his testimony in regards to how he met the living Christ. So the second use is for people set apart for a specific ministry. And then there's this third use, okay? And this is when the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes upon an individual and that person utters a prophetic word and or does a particular task, okay? So here in Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 45, and this is about Elizabeth and Zacharias. So from 41, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of a greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And then later on, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, Luke chapter 1, verse 67. So again, you know, it's the Holy Spirit came upon a person and that enabled the person to prophesy, okay, and do something. So we can see there's many facets in which the fullness of the Holy Spirit is applied to the believers, okay. So what's interesting is you can see all of this working in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as our Lord and Savior, you know, he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. So we see that in the baptism of Jesus. But when Luke writes this, he keeps speaking about what the Holy Spirit does in the life of Jesus. So for the first verse in chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, we can see when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." So you find that Jesus was anointed into the ministry with a proclamation that this is my beloved son. Okay. The identity of Christ being the son of God. And this is the work of the Spirit. But what's interesting is what follows. Okay. The next thing you know that says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And we are familiar with the passage. And at the end of the temptation, in chapter 4, verse 14, Luke says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues and everyone praised him. So you can see that the Holy Spirit, you know, just took hold of him and led him to the desert and was with him in that moment of temptation in a very difficult time, a challenging time. And the Holy Spirit empowered him and he returned full of power and he embarked into the ministry. And therefore, what he would say, you know, as he starts his ministry, he would read from the book of Isaiah and he would quote it referring to himself. Here it says in 4:18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Okay, so you can see that, you know, he speaks about how the Holy Spirit has set him apart for a particular ministry. But at the same time, you see the Holy Spirit actively engaging him for certain events in his life. Okay, so all this is important for us to understand because the more we think about this, we realize that the Holy Spirit fills us, you know, empowers us for ministry, empowers us for certain tasks, and empowers us for certain seasons in our life. Okay, and that's what Paul is asking, to be constantly filled with the Spirit, you know, so that we may be led by the Holy Spirit, that our lives may be defined and guided by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so why we don't listen to the Holy Spirit? You know, what is the problem? What keeps us from truly experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit? So for one example, as we have studied the book of Corinthians, we realized there were so many issues within the church. There was disordered worship. And so all the people so full of themselves that they were using the spiritual gifts, you know, to exalt themselves rather than to represent God. And as I shared the last week, the spiritual life is all about having the love of Christ within our hearts. Okay. And so Paul sees it this way. Okay. He doesn't divide the people as spirit-filled and unbaptized people, baptized and unbaptized, but rather he divides them as, you know, the ones who are filled with the Spirit and the ones who are more carnal-minded. So we see that in this passage, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Okay. So you can see Paul making that very clear. He says, you're just too worldly minded. You're talking about who is the better apostle, who has, you know, who is you are associated with, you know, who is a greater, who is a lesser, and the whole system of beliefs, and even the system that they used to use the spiritual gifts was very worldly, okay? And therefore, the whole church was upside down and there was so much chaos in it. And the people were not spiritually discerning, okay? And therefore, they were not even ready to receive the solid food that they required. They were still haggling about the same issues and they were not moving forward, okay? So that's what we have to understand. The call to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit is a call for us to move away from being carnal-minded, from being worldly. So and that's what catches us, you know, the thing that is, if we set our minds constantly on worldly things, and if all our activities is towards that, and if we don't allow, you know, the Word of God to shape our thinking, then we will be stuck in this place where we will not recognize the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us, okay? So very immature, you know, do not emphasize the Lordship of Christ. So there is this whole idea of carnal Christianity. It says, as long as I believe Jesus is Lord, it's okay. You know, I believe that he saved me, it's okay. But I don't have to work out the fact that he is the Lord of my life. I don't have to figure out what it means to follow him or obey him. And therefore, there's a lack of interest in scriptures, and they do not dwell in the house of in the Word of God, and they spend most of their energies focusing more on the world and what moves them and entertains them, or what what helps them with their own personal ambition. So it's all these things. So this is the other thing we have to keep in mind, the worldliness that gets us away from the spirit-filled life. Okay, so I do want you to dwell on all this, and eventually we will slowly put this together. So if, as we have worked through this passage, you know, and I've emphasized it earlier, I think one important aspect of growing spiritually is being fed by the Word of God. Okay, and that's what Paul says, and that's what he says here. Even the spiritual gifts and the spiritual offices, you know, are used to develop Christians so that they may be strengthened and rooted in the Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the fullness of Christ is the same thing as the fullness of the Spirit. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So we have emphasized this again and again. We have seen Psalm 1 about the the blessed person, you know, who meditates on the word of God. And you've heard Shanti speak from John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches. And it all comes back, you know, in dwelling up in the word of God. And again, I'm stating the importance of this, because if we want to be filled with the Spirit, it starts here, okay? It starts with the Word of God. And that is an important part of developing a Spirit-filled life, okay? And I'll show you how that works further on. So you can see it's all connected also, that the Word is Jesus Christ, okay? And so when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, you are baptized because you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you receive him as your Lord and Savior. So in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So it speaks, okay, about that fullness of the Holy Spirit, that river, that life-giving spring that flows from within. It comes from faith in Jesus Christ, okay? And that faith is defined by the Word, okay? So in John 6, 63, it says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life." So if you're speaking about anointing and being full, I mean, one of the important things that we take note is to come to Jesus, to believe in Christ as how Scripture reveals him. And that leads to rivers of living water that shall flow from them. So faith in Christ is essential, okay? And you need to think about this, because you find that in much of your battles, it's between believing the systems of the world or believing in who Christ is and what he is saying to you. So it's a matter of putting our faith, all right? We, you know, to believe that he knows how to lead us and guide us, that he is our Lord and Savior. And therefore, the more we believe in him, the more we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. Okay, so what's interesting, I do want to point out, you know, when you look at this text, there are many imperatives, commands, okay? And you find that, you know, the way it is written, you read every episode, you know, it's easy to do the imperatives when people believe in Jesus Christ, because the Spirit moves us to do these things. So I've highlighted, you know, a few, and so that you may realize how this text works out, you know, and why Paul is speaking to us this way, because he's aware of the work of the Spirit and he wants us to flow with that work rather than grieve the Holy Spirit. So he says, do not let, you know, but only, and do not grieve, get rid of, okay, be, all right, walk, and therefore must not be, okay, nor should there be, okay, and let no one deceive you. And therefore, do not live as, okay, and find out what pleases and have nothing to do and rather expose them, okay, and be careful then how you live and making most of every opportunity. So he puts this whole list, okay, of imperatives that flows from a Spirit-filled life. And therefore he says, okay, in order, you know, to have all this working in you, instead, you know, you have to be filled with the Spirit. And that's a passive command. It's not something you do. You just stand there and allow the Spirit to fill you. Okay. And that's what we must bear in mind. And when we look to Jesus and when we put our faith in him and when we call on him and when we meditate on his word, you know, we are in that place where we allow the Spirit to fill us, okay, to renew our hearts and to make us more like Jesus Christ. Okay. And you find that as we, the longer we wait on him, the more we can enjoy the continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit. So I want to give few examples of this. I think I've spoken about this many times, and this, of course, is a relevant subject. And what I consider an important part of my ministry and what I keep asking people and challenging people to do is to do their devotion properly. Okay, is to make sure that they prioritize times with their time with God. And of course, without fail, everyone who has worked that out, they come back and give testimonies. They say that it changes the way they do things. It allows them to see things differently. It empowers them to deal with their work problems and the people they work with, you know, and it changes a perspective. And you realize that, you know, when the moment you start doing it, it's an ongoing thing. You know, you see the Spirit filling you again and again as you just take time to gaze at Christ, you know, to look at Christ. Okay, and when you see Him, you know, and we are transformed from glory to glory into His likeness by the Spirit. You know, when we pray, when we wait upon Him, the Spirit starts to work within our hearts. When we meditate on the Word of God, the Spirit starts to fill us. Okay, so that is true. But what's interesting, as you see the entire passage, you must be mindful that we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit, that we should continue to press on. Okay, and you find that the call to prayer is a call to apply our faith. Okay, and we have to understand that, you know, when you go to your workplace, you know who's the boss in your workplace and what is the company policies. And if you don't believe in those things, then you will find yourself out of a job soon. Okay, and it's that core belief that helps you operate in a certain way. And so much more with Christ, that core belief that Jesus is Lord is that call towards devotion, a call towards worship. And therefore, we come on our knees and we look to Christ and we say, Lord, you know, you are our Lord and God. You are the Lord of the entire universe and of this world and of every circumstances. And you need to teach me and guide me and lead me. So, and that is the prayer. And of course, we do realize, you know, when it comes to God, there is no end to learning. If today you learn 100 things from God, tomorrow you will learn another 100. And day after tomorrow, be sure you will learn another 100. And next week, there's also another 100. And this will continue to work throughout eternity, because that is who God is. The fullness just comes. And there's so much, you know, the depth, the heights, and the reach. And the reach of God is unending. And therefore, we can learn. But what you must be mindful is that, you know, when the Spirit moves in our lives, when the Word pierces our heart, it starts to shape our desire, what we trust, the relationships we have, you know, our understanding of obedience, our ministry, you know, it's the way we train ourselves, our faith, our character, our work, and every sphere of our life. So what happens, I just want to give you an example. Let's say, you know, when I'm praying and God speaks to me and God would allow, ask me to order the relationships I have with people in a certain way. Perhaps He will speak to me of certain area of obedience. And when I submit to that conversation and when I allow the Spirit to shape that area, then you can see the whole process of infilling just moving on and moving on. But if I grieve the Holy Spirit and I shut Him down, then I get stuck, okay? And even the devotions also starts to dry up in a certain way, okay? And this is just one of many reasons why the devotions can dry up, okay? I've spoken about the others. But the thing is, if we are not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, if we're not allowing Him to shape our lives, if we are not taking all those imperatives and asking the Holy Spirit, fill us so that we may change, okay? Nothing's going to happen. So how it works out, let me give an example. Let's say there's a particular person I dislike and I can't stand and I don't know how to talk to that person and I don't want to do anything. And God says, no, you have to deal with this person. And I ask God, you know, you must help me. Okay. I have come to the end of myself. Your Spirit must take control of my life. And the more I start praying that way, the more God actually starts doing certain things in my life. The more I step out in faith and start listening to him, the more God moves me forward, you know, to undo my own anger and bitterness and, you know, selfishness or whatever it is that is hindering me from obeying God. Okay. And in that conversation and in that movement, you are filled and strengthened by the Holy Spirit to move forward. And the Holy Spirit in that place is shaping you to be more and more like Christ to that person. Okay. So it is a detailed, long process in which you have this conversations with God. And that's how our prayer life is. Okay. You know, God knows all the nitty-gritty, the stubbornness, the anger. So please don't put a full stop to God's word in your life. Don't just say, you know, oh, I find it difficult to pray. Oh, this is the problem, and I can't do this and I can't do that. It is true. The carnal self cannot do a lot of things. In fact, you know, without the Spirit, we cannot bear fruits. Without Christ, you know, we can do nothing, as John says in chapter 15, you know, and we are just dry up and we can't bear fruit. But the whole point of realizing what we cannot do is to believe what Christ can do in our lives. And that's the thing, you know, when God asks me to do a certain ministry, of course, I'm well aware that I can't do the ministry God called me to do. And I'm very acquainted with all my sense of, you know, weaknesses and my own pride. And perhaps the reasons I believe I can do the ministry also has to be revised in the presence of God. But the main point here is it has to be from the Spirit. It has to be from above, not worldly. It has to be in the Word of God, not from the wisdom of the world. It has to be in the shape of our Lord Jesus Christ. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. And if you just sit and ask God and tell God, yes, I'm having problems with this. Fill me with your Spirit. Show me, teach me, train me, guide me through your Spirit. Open my eyes. And as you persist in that prayer, as you look to God and you pray in faith, you know, God will open doors. God will send people to your side. God will bring you into conversations and make you spiritually aware of that wonderful process, you know, which is using others and using different circumstances to shape Christ in your life. So you must be mindful when the Spirit works. As much as we believe Jesus Christ is Lord, this imagery helps, you know, in many areas of our life. It has not been consecrated, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And it's to move, you know, Christ from outside to being the center of my life. Okay. And that is the activity of the Holy Spirit within us. So we're going to move in a time of prayer. There's just two parts of it. I put up a slide here, and the second part, Andrew, will be. And there are a few questions here for us to reflect as we come before the Lord in prayer. Okay. And we have to think about all this carefully, you know, what being spiritual means to each one of you. You know, how do you see yourself, spiritual or carnal? You know, are you taking action? Are you trusting in the power and presence of the Spirit? Are you aligning your life to Christ? Are you looking to the anointed one, the one who has baptized you and who's able to fill you? Okay. What it means to be transformed and empowered by the Spirit and even led by the Spirit. So let's spend this few moments as I lead in prayer, you know, reflecting upon these things and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us and fill our hearts with his presence and power. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we thank you. Dear Lord, we want to praise you. And as we look at your word, we begin to understand more and more why you said to us that you will not leave us alone. It is so important that we should have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because without, Lord, the Spirit, we cannot do anything. The life of Christ becomes another rule of law, which we cannot accomplish. but your Spirit has made us new. We are a new creation. Your Spirit arrests the power of the old, and our old has been crucified in Christ through the power of the Spirit. And through the power of the same Spirit, we live in you, Lord, and we live by faith in you. As your word says, Lord, that I've been crucified in Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives with me. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Lord Jesus who loved me and gave his life for me. And Lord, I pray that all of us will be more aware and attentive to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let us believe, Lord, that the moment we call on your name, that you have poured out your Spirit within us. But dear Lord, let us understand that sometimes we can become so worldly that we are not attentive and not drawing from the power of the Spirit. Rather, we are drawing from worldly sources. And therefore, we find our lives dry. Dear Lord, let us come back to you and let us look to you. Dear God, in our moments of weakness, let us ask, Lord, you to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Let us dwell in your word so that we may be filled with the fullness of Christ. Let us understand that it is you, Holy Spirit, can do the transformative work in our life. It is you that can bring life and hope within us. It is you that can lead us into the right path. It is you, Lord, that can give us the power to do what we cannot do for ourselves. For in you there is life-giving power. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will not reduce our faith to the old idea of legalism and human effort. We will not, Lord, be bound by our own weakness. We will not tell you, Lord, what you can do and cannot do in our lives. Lord, as we are well aware of our limitations and our failures, we will bring it back to you, Lord, and allow you to shape us and lead us by your power. Dear God, all of us are in need of constant breakthroughs. All of us are facing tasks that we need the filling of the Holy Spirit to move us to act, to speak, to know, to understand and decide. All of us have relationships, Lord, that we need your supernatural power to allow us, Lord, to grow and love and care for individuals. We are stuck, Lord, without the power of the Spirit. So, Lord, come and visit us. Fill us, renew our hearts by your power. Draw us, dear Lord, to Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Lord. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We want to thank you for presence. We continue to look to you, Lord Father, because we do understand as we see what's happening in this world, we do need an outpouring of your Spirit. We're looking at what's happening in the nations, there's the war in Ukraine, and what's taking place in Sri Lanka, and how the entire world is being affected by this war. Shortage of food and inflation and so forth. We pray, Lord Father, that you will continue to show yourself holy and that you will show, Lord, that our governments, our wisdoms, our abilities have failed us. Only you can bring hope and salvation. Only your ways are the truth and the life that we need. So, Lord, we pray that in a time like this, that you would raise your church to be prophetic, to be clear in its message, to know your heart and to speak. That you raise your church to be compassionate and kind, that we will not flow with this world, but rather our hands will be generous, our words will be kind and compassionate. And that you will use us as instruments of healing and reconciliation. We pray also, Lord, that you grant us wisdom to speak of sin, Lord, of the brokenness that sin brings into this world, of the untrue, the diseased people and holds them in bondage. Dear Lord, the world is denying sin, but we pray that you will guide us in your wisdom and you will continue to show us how we have, how to have this conversation with us. Dear Lord, lead us and guide us, Lord, for your purpose. I pray, Lord, for our church leadership, that even as we're going through, as we are serving and as we are looking to you, we know, Lord, that we do need your guidance. We do need your empowering. We do need wisdom that comes from above. We do need insights that come from you, dear God. So we pray that you speak to us, that you continue to equip the leadership so that we will be able to unite this church, to raise more leaders, to equip your people for the works of ministry. Dear Lord, we pray for unity, for oneness of heart, oneness in faith, oneness in confession, Lord Father, so that we may be filled with your Spirit, that we may shine and reflect your glory in all circumstances. Dear Lord, we pray also for every ministry. We pray that every person, every teacher, every leader in a ministry will be encouraged by the fact that they are not doing this work alone, that your Spirit is there to equip them, to enable them, to bless them, dear Lord. And I pray that they will, with joy, rely more and more on you, Holy Spirit, to undertake the task that you've put in their hearts. And I pray, Lord, that even at times when we don't feel like doing this ministry, when we lack the love, when we are tired, when we are discouraged, your Spirit will lift us up and will encourage us, will strengthen us, will open our eyes to the good things that you are doing in and through us and in the lives of those whom we serve. We pray, dear God, that as we listen to your word, as we look to you, you will give us the faith to press on, to hold on to your promises, to believe that every promise is a yes and amen in Jesus Christ, that in him all things are fulfilled and all things will be fulfilled. For his kingdom has come and he is the King revealed. And truly he will come again and redeem his people for his glory. And so, Lord, we pray that our eyes will be focused on him. With joy we will celebrate with his name. With hope we will put our faith in his name, dear God. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us here in this gathering. We thank you that you have spoken to our hearts, and we pray that you anoint and bless every person. Continue to lead us throughout this week. Continue to keep us, Lord, in your love and your goodness. We thank you, Father. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.